Welcome to the Inspire Careers Spotlight Series, presenting informational, educational, and entertaining interviews and insights about today's leading career management topics. Your host is Kathy Lanzalaco, CEO of Inspire Careers. Kathy is a member of the Forbes Coaches Council and an award-winning resume writer. Inspire Careers provides career marketing support to executives and professionals and is home to the Inspire Careers Student Professional Launch Program, the only new college graduate success program in the country. Follow Kathy on LinkedIn, Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter for new career-related content shared daily, and visit inspirecareers.com to learn more about Kathy and her unique career path from registered nurse to HR leader to entrepreneur, business owner, and podcast host. The podcast you're about to listen to can also be found as a video podcast on the Inspire Careers YouTube channel.
Welcome to another episode of Inspire Career Spotlight on Careers, the video podcast series where I provide best-in-class career information to you to keep you up to date and help you advance in your careers. And today I want to talk about immediate steps to follow once word has come down that you are being laid off or fired. And when I say immediate, I actually mean immediate in the room when you're receiving the news, as well as what do you do in that first 24 to 48 hours? So a little bit of both. Now, let me just in full transparency here tell you that I have been on all ends of this. I have, as an HR professional, I have had to deliver this news to people on many circumstances. I have also been on the receiving end of this. I have been laid off multiple times for downsizings, and I have also been fired. So when I give you this advice, please know that I have walked this walk myself. I have advised clients on it. I have heard their responses to it. Listen, this is traumatizing. And it can be traumatizing at an entire different level for everyone. Nobody wants to hear the news. Some people may be more resilient. Some people may have had an inkling it was coming, but I'm really talking to you if you were not prepared. Nobody gave you a tip off. And it's Friday afternoon, you're ready to put your coat on. I've been there. And you've been called into the office and it all comes down in a matter of a couple of minutes. So think about where you are in your life journey as well. If you have young kids at home, if you're a single parent, you're the only source of income for the family, that can be a very different type of trauma than if you know that you have a spouse at home. They're not going to be happy about the news, but you know, you've still got medical insurance, you're covered, you're not going to worry about where your next meal's coming from. Maybe you've just started your first child in college and you know what those college tuition payments are going to be versus if you were going to be ready to retire in 6 months anyway, and then, you know, there's a severance package at the end for you. So, gee, that was kind of a gift. So you can be anywhere in between. But let's talk about what happens in that room. I have been there, again, on both ends, but I'm talking from the end of the reception of when you're getting that message. So let's talk about what I would recommend that you do if you can do it at all. I recommend, but being prepared, because it could happen to anybody at any time, completely out of our control. This is what I'd like you to remember. A short formula, DDA. That's all I want you to remember in the room at that time. Ooh, I got to think about this. Kathy said to do this. Okay, let's walk you through it. DDA, don't, and ask. So let's go at it. The first D is don't. Don't panic. And I know that's really, really difficult to say. It's really difficult to hear because you're like, Kathy, are you kidding me? Of course I'm going to panic. Recognize you're going to feel anxious. Recognize it's going to feel like somebody kicked you in the gut. Your face may turn red. Your blood pressure may go up. You may feel lightheaded. You know, I don't know. All of these things can actually happen, but I'm going to ask you to save your panic for home. You can go panic at home. Don't panic in that room because you can set yourself up for success by taking advantage of, they don't expect you to be coming back at them with any asks or any type of negotiation. They think they're handling the conversation. So oftentimes you can get things in that room that you may not be able to get later. I have done it myself. So don't panic so that you don't say anything that you regret and you can't take back. And don't agree to anything that you shouldn't be agreeing to. Just because at that moment you want to get out of that room, don't agree to anything. So the second D is don't sign anything. So maybe they'll put some release of information in front of you. Maybe they'll put a severance package in front of you. Don't sign anything at that point. Ask for anything they're promising you in writing so that you can take it to a lawyer. You can have time to look at it at home. Do not sign anything. I don't care what they promise you. Do not sign anything. And then the next thing is your ask. So ask for something before you leave that room. We'll have a better opportunity to get it at that moment because there's vulnerability energy flying all over that room at that point. They may say no, but hey, if you don't ask, you're never going to know. And I'll tell you, I have done this myself. So when they say, we'll pay you 2 weeks in lieu of notice because today's your last day, I bet you say, you know what? I was completely unprepared for this. I would like 4 weeks. I would like 6 weeks. See what they say. I got 4 weeks because I asked for it. Maybe I should have asked for six, but I asked for four and I got it. The other thing you can ask for at that point is a severance agreement. If you didn't have one, if they never talked about one, ask for one. All they can say is no. The worst thing they can say is no, but ask for it anyway. Ask for a letter of recommendation to walk away with. Now, if you've gotten fired for cause, that might be a little more difficult to get. But if it's not just a good cultural fit, or they are letting go you or other people for a reduction in force, they should be very willing to do that for you. And if possible, don't leave until you have it, or get a commitment from them when you're going to have it within the next few days. That can make a difference if you're trying to explain why you've been let go, particularly if it's not a widespread riff, if it's only you, or if it is because of a cultural fit or performance issue. There's still reasons that they would want to recommend you for another employer. Maybe you're not the right one for them, but you could be very successful somewhere else. They may not offer that. It's up to you to advocate for yourself. And I've done that in the room too, and I've gotten it. And it really, I believe, made the difference when I went out to the market to search for another job. So you want to have that in your back pocket. And if they say, well, they can call me. No. That's okay, because they may call anyway to check your dates of employment, but you want control of that letter of recommendation. All right, so that's what happens in that room. And then, of course, oftentimes they walk you back to your desk. There might be security waiting there. Don't take that personal if that happens. That's just kind of a company thing. They want you to pack up your belongings and leave. Okay, try to hold your emotions in check. I know that's difficult. Again, when you get to your car, when you get home, you want to have a meltdown. That's the place to do it. But at this point, you want to remember what you need to take. And I don't mean taking company files and proprietary information, but you don't want to have to keep going back there if you've left personal items there. So just take a deep breath, get your things packed. And if they say, look, we'll pack up your other stuff, maybe work-related things. Okay, thank you. But you want to walk away with some of your personal stuff. So go ahead and do that. All right, so now you go home. What do you do over that next 24 to 48 hours to set yourself up for success, to start the ball moving towards your future? I'm going to give you some steps. I'm going to recommend things to do, but I'm also going to say you have to do these at your own pace. Everyone works through their trauma, their journey by themselves. We have support. Yes, we do, depending on who that might be. But we all have to heal in our own way. But you can activate very certain strategies, like trying to remain positive, trying to look forward. Doing all these things really do help. But I'm not here to throw toxic positivity at you, but I will tell you, your next job is out there. It is. So try to remain grounded in the fact that you've been through something terrible, something that has hurt you. But yes, there's life on the other side. So when you need to take time for you, and maybe you're not ready to do these things that next Monday, okay, take a day, take another day, take a week if you need to. But some of this does help you feel more in control of the situation, and can really help level set your emotions better by knowing that you do have some control over it. So after you've gotten through that first day and, you know, the initial tears, because you may have those, if you've gotten a severance package, start to look at that. Look at it, start thinking about questions you may have. I'm a big proponent of getting a lawyer to look at it before you sign it. If you've never had one before, you might not know what you're signing away. You might not know what you really should be asking for within it. The lawyer's going to charge you some money to review it. Money well spent if it can bring you a better ROI on the other end. Don't just blindly sigh it. So pick up that phone, get in touch with a lawyer, and let them have a look at that before you sign anything. When you have severance agreements, they give you a certain amount of time to sign it and then a certain amount of time to renege on it too. So you don't have to panic about that, but you do have to start getting that ball rolling if you want a lawyer to look at that. The next thing is, I told you to ask for that letter of recommendation. Put that in your file. Start a file that you're going to keep now for this upcoming job search. You're going to put that letter of recommendation in there. And even before you start updating your resume and LinkedIn, because of course that's on my list, just kind of get organized. Okay, now I've got my letter of recommendation. Put that in a safe place. You have it digitally that you can share. Potentially they've given it to you in hard copy, but you can also print it out. Make sure it's on their company letterhead too. And if they've given it to you without that, send it back. Ask them to put it on their company letterhead. can be impactful when another employer is looking at it. All right. So ideally, in an ideal world, and we know we don't live in it, everybody would have their resume and their LinkedIn updated all the time. Well, you know, you don't. You just don't. Well, not everybody does. Let's put it that way. Kudos to you if you do, but not everybody does. So what I'm going to encourage you to do is take it out. If you don't even know where it is, go look for it. Okay. Don't be making all kinds of big sweeping changes to your LinkedIn profile that day. Don't say that you've been terminated. And for heaven's sakes, do not start going on LinkedIn and start bashing your employer. Do not start doing that at all. Never, ever do it. It will come back to bite you every time. Don't be that person. We all know that person on LinkedIn that all they've done for the 6 months they've been employed is complain about the process, complain about recruiters, complain about their employer, complain about the process. Don't be that guy, please. Please don't be that person. At least get them together, okay? You're going to need to have it updated. A lot of times people will say, when do I have to kind of close that date on my resume and on my LinkedIn for when I left the company? You don't have to do it that day. But if you keep it open for 4 to 6 weeks, it may look like you're trying to stretch the truth on that. So I would always be cautious about that as well. But if you had a great opportunity that next day and somebody said, send me that resume right away, explain to them that you may want to explain to them that you're not working there anymore, but don't lose an opportunity. Get the resume out there unless it's completely tragic. Then you may need to ask for a couple of days to get it updated. Start networking, start tapping into your network. Now, you may not want to call everybody and start putting out the sound, oh my gosh, I'm gone from ABC company, blah, blah, blah. That's not what I'm talking about. I start thinking about how you're going to start getting out there and talking to people. 75 to 80% of jobs are found through networking. So if you're not doing that, tapping into your network, talking to people, you're going to miss opportunities. Apply for unemployment benefits. Even if you've gotten a severance package, and the severance package, whether they're paying you in a lump sum or they're going to pay it out over a certain period of weeks, that goes against your unemployment, meaning you can't collect unemployment. You can't double dip until that the sequence of weeks is exhausted. But that doesn't mean you can't apply. So apply for those unemployment benefits. Fully disclose what you have going on in terms of severance to at least get the ball rolling. It'll speed it up on the other end. Think about your financial status. Maybe your job was not critical to running your household. Maybe it was supplemental income. Maybe you weren't making a whole lot, but it's really taking a deep dive into the way that you live, your lifestyle, and your bills. However, for many people, it is, particularly if you're like me, you're a single parent and you had nothing else to rely on. So yes, I want you to go take a look and say, what bills do I have to pay this week? Do I have enough in reserve? But I'm going to suggest something that not a lot of people think about. And yes, people may think about, oh, I got to buckle down the hatches. I can't make any investments. I can't hire a career coach, resume writer. I don't have any money. I would tell you that may not be the right way to think in terms of it could be an investment that could yield huge results on the other end. But I'm not here to promote that. I'm just here to share the options. But I would think about getting a financial planner. This might be the exact time to do it. Financial planners are not that expensive. You think that they might be, and you think you have to be a millionaire to have one? No, you don't. This might be a great time to help prepare, particularly if you believe you're going to have a hard time getting another job for whatever reason. Now's the time. Don't be thinking about, well, I can't pay this bill tomorrow already. Talk to a financial planner. They can set up a reasonable plan for you to help you on this journey. That's something I wish I had done years ago. I have a financial planner now that I don't make any financial decisions without talking to them. However, the earlier you engage with them, the better off. And this may be the right opportunity to do it. Small investment, big returns. The other thing I'm going to say is keep a routine. You know, if you're already going to the gym in the mornings, you are volunteering, you're going to an event every week for networking, whatever it is. You're on a board, you got board meetings. I don't care what it is. Keep your routine going. Do you have Saturday morning coffee with friends? Go do it. Don't pull back on that and say, well, I'm embarrassed to go. I'm too tired. I can't afford it. Really try to continue your routine. It will help you remain grounded. It'll help your body, that muscle memory, keep, okay, I'm up every morning. I have a purpose. I have a reason to do things. You can build in your job search calendar later, but keep that routine as much as possible. It's good for you mentally, emotionally, and physically. So try to keep it up as much as possible. Reach out for support. Only you can decide when you make that first phone call to let people know. But sometimes just ripping off the bandage can be very helpful. You don't owe anybody an explanation as to the details if you don't want to share them. However, you might be surprised how compassionate people are about and how many people may say, yeah, I've been through the same thing. I understand. What can I do? How can I help? So tap into your family and your friends that you can trust. You may feel your circle of trust is kind of small at that point. That's okay. But let those people help you. And then as you're bridging that gap between this job and the next one, consider freelance work. Consider maybe consulting, considering if you are do graphic work or you do website work, whatever it might be, maybe Upwork or Fiverr or something like that, just to earn some money. Don't take anything off the table at this point. You can take things off the table down the road. But in the beginning, be open to different suggestions about how you might supplement your income. The last time I lost my last job, because I had gone through a series of downsizing and layoffs, and then the last time I was fired, I started my own business. I said, I'm done with this. I don't want anybody to control my destiny anymore. And now I've been running my own business for 7 years, and it's thriving and it's successful, and I am grateful. I can't imagine going back to work for other people anymore. I am too old to have to be asking for a day off to go do something with my family, or if I want to just take off on a whim to go travel. I'm too old for that stuff anymore. Maybe you're at that point in your life. Maybe you're not. But consider all kinds of options. It might be the right time to start your own business. It might be the time to switch your path and do a complete career pivot. Who knows? But thinking about it and taking this opportunity to see what might be available to you and not necessarily always doing the same thing might be super helpful. And then the last thing I really want to say is to take care of you, because we tend to put ourselves last, particularly if the circumstances surrounding whatever situation went down, if we're not readily excited to talk about those. I know that if you've been fired, there can be shame, even if you didn't do anything wrong. And I'm not talking about when you were stealing from the company. Hell, you probably deserve to be fired at that point. I'm just going to say that, right? If you're doing things that are unethical. But most people get fired because it's not a good cultural fit, or it's a performance issue, honestly, that probably hasn't even been addressed. So you have nothing to be ashamed of. But take care of yourself first. You are no good to anybody else. Your family, you're no good for the next employer that you want to market yourself to. If you're run down, you're ragged, and you're pathetic. I once had an interview after I had gotten fired. I had an interview for a job, and I started getting very emotional in the job. And the recruiter stopped the interview, and she said, "You're a mess." Yeah, it was. Needless to say, I didn't get that job. Ha! But it really put me back on the path to say, take a look at yourself. What are you doing? Why do you keep beating yourself up about this? And as it turned out, I got another job down the road anyway, but I did quit that job to start my business. But that was an interim job. That was a bridge job for me. I knew it wouldn't be a long-term job. Those can help you too. Maybe you take something just to get a little bit of money, knowing that your end goal is something else. That's okay too. But what I want you to take away from this episode today is that planning starts in the room. So remember my DDA, don't, and ask. Try that. And then once you get home, those first 24 to 48 hours, you can begin setting yourself up with a plan that's going to help reduce your anxiety and increase your feeling of control with the situation. If you sit home and say, I'm going to take 6 weeks off and think about it, you've lost 6 weeks of momentum. Even if you're not desperate to get a job, you may lose out on some opportunities that could have presented themselves. But I will tell you this last thing. Balance that with taking the first job that's offered, and balance it with panicking and trying to load every job search activity into the first week. That's not what I'm saying either. And that's a knee-jerk reaction I see a lot of people making. Well, I got to get this resume out in 24 hours, and they're pushing themselves, they're pushing others. Must do it today. I've rarely seen that work. Rarely. That is a good reason for constantly being prepared, having your resume, LinkedIn updated, network before you need it, give to others, put out good karma, all of that. But all of that activity doesn't have to happen the first week. Set the tone, get a plan, work your plan, and that's where the success lies. So, gonna leave you with that today. Take care of yourself above all. But listen, we have got a lot of other great episodes here on the Inspire Career Spotlight on Careers. I invite you to subscribe, ring our bell so that you're notified when new episodes drop. I have a couple tremendous episodes coming with amazing guests that are gonna blow your mind in the next couple of weeks. So please, I encourage you to sign up and see what they have to say and what we're going to be sharing with you. Wait till you see. In the meantime, take care of yourself. If you need help, let me know. Reach out for others too. Nobody goes this journey alone. And until we meet again, live inspired.